Okay, let's start with our first case. This is a shayla that came to Rav Shlomo Zalman Urbach. Now he was asked to paskin on this din Torah. Tell me how you work through this case. Reuven owns a bakery. Not bakery, let's say a supermarket in those days, type supermarket, hardware store. In those days, they used to sell, how would they sell sugar? They would sell, they have a big bag of, and there'd be this white stuff inside this bag, and that sugar, they would pick up sugar from the local store. That was Reuven's store. Shimon works in the shop, and he made a big mistake. What was his mistake? Is that instead of putting sugar into the sugar bag, he put salt into the sugar bag.
I've done that.
And there were many customers who came in to buy sugar, and they paid for sugar, they got a bag full of white stuff, they thought they received sugar, and they related it at home like they had sugar. They added this white stuff to their foods, thinking that it's sugar, and of course it ended up being salt, which meant they had to throw away all the food which they added to. Now, the shayla comes to Rav Shlomo Zalman Urbach and is asked, is Shimon responsible for the damage which has caused to all those meats, cakes, potatoes, schnitzels that were destroyed by putting in the salt into those foods, or not?
Why is that grammar?
Is it grammar or not grammar? Under what category?
The loss is getting the salt out of the sugar. You get your money back.
The loss is you ruined my food.
That's indirect.
Why is it indirect?
And it's anal nicker.
You fooled me. It's very nicker. You taste it.
Not right away.
It's not nicker right away. As soon as you taste it, it's nicker.
I taste it, but you see it, it's not nicker.
You don't have to be nicker by saying it.
See, at the time of the thing, it was a spectator. I see that no one can tell.
If the spectator tastes it, he'll taste it.
We already discussed putting poison in someone's foods, which is clearly poison, is considered hezek nicker.
Right.
The question is, okay, that if I put the poison in this case, I put the salt into his foods. Did I, Shimon, put the salt into his foods?
No.
Where did I put the salt?
Yeah.
In the bag with the sign called sugar on it. Okay, so am I going to be held responsible for that damage to all those foods through that action or not?
No.
And if you say yes, you can say no and I won't hold anything against you. But if you say yes, you have to explain why.
I think it might be yes. I think it should be yes. Because I, in effect, told you to put that in the food.
And therefore, under what concept are you charging me?
You did it by your dime.
I didn't do dime. I didn't do anything to you. I put it in the bag.
But by putting it in the bag, I'm telling you to put it in the
bag. Okay, so let's say I actually tell you, and you believe me. Yeah? Under what concept are you getting me to hire me for? You're saying, okay, you told him, and because you told him, he put it in. Okay, we're going to charge. Why? Under what concept? And how long?
Warbish is around him.
Warbish is around him. Everything is mazik. You're asking, are you responsible for that damage? And if yes, why? Under what category are we going to
Warbish
get
to?
What, tell me, what are the categories of mazik that you pay for? No, you learnt Baba Kama. What categories of mazik do you pay? Otama Mazik, the person himself damages, goes up with a hammer and smashes the table. That's Otama Mazik. Is that over here?
No.
No. Then what we have? Your cow damages. Have you got a cow here damaging? That means your money damages. Have you got your money damaging? No. Okay. So now what's the other two categories? Bar, that means you dig a hole and they fall in. And Aish, and he lights a fire, and that fire causes damage. Now, is it comparable to Baal or Aish or neither?
I think closer to Aish, still neither. Aish gets carried away, and eventually
the wind, there's another agent involved that causes it. So here, it's only when you add it to your cake mixture, it's you doing something that also ruined it.
So, for the next few weeks, we're going to discuss the mazik of Aish and when it fits into that category of Aish and when it doesn't fit into the category of Aish. So let us first discuss over here, is this called Aish over here? So we look at Gemara Mokum number 1, famous Gemara, Baba Kama, Baba Mat Aleph, which says, definitely decides what is the category of Aish. What is definition Aish? You light a fire physically, and it causes damage to your spots, or why? How do you define that? And therefore, once we define it, we can relate it to cases where it's also called Aish.
It's not Bor.
Bor doesn't move.
Who moved here?
The salt, it moved or didn't move?
The salt moved.
So therefore it's not Bor. Bor doesn't move.
Bor can't move?
Bor, what's Bor?
Something which is
stationary and something
else. A person falls into a hole. Yes? The hole goes and damages the person, or the person goes and gets damaged by the hole. What's the case so far?
The second,
that the person goes and gets damaged by the hole. He goes into the bar and gets damaged. Yes? That means So let's discuss Baba Madala. Baba Baya. Aish. What does Aish include? Rasua Abina Sakina Masoi Shanika Baroshagat. Since Abaya includes, Aish also includes this connect. You put a stone, you put a knife on top of the roof. On top of your roof. The north of the roof of Masua. In such a way that it's going to fall from that roof when a normal wind comes. And Hezekiah, and it does, and it causes damage, you're hived to pay for that damage it caused, because that's Aish. Because you created something dangerous which moved, just like fire goes and moves and damages. So anything you put in a dangerous place which moves and damages is also called Aish. Peter Domi, even the Hadika Osamaski, if it damages as it's moving, Hainu Aish, that is called Aish. Anything which is dangerous and it moves in a normal way from that dangerous position, you put something dangerous down in a place and then it gets moved, it's called Aish. Mashna Aish, why is Aish? What's the difference between Aish and Bar? Tekoach Acha Murva. Aish is, well, it doesn't damage in the place you put it down, but there's some, you put it down in a place where another force is going to join up with where you put it down and create damage, going to move it and create damage elsewhere. So these, you put down a knife which is dangerous, and the wind's going to blow it, which is that other force, and it creates damage, so therefore that's called Aish. Whereas if the wind blows the fire, it's called Aish in your chayv, so here the wind blows the knife, and therefore your chayv for the damage. So let me ask you over here, is the salt Aish? We need two definitions of Aish at the moment. You put something down in a place where it will be moved to a dangerous position.
Sounds similar.
But you don't have a smear on. There's no smear on involved.
Why is no smear involved?
On salt?
Yes, on the knife. What's the shmira on the knife?
Well,
what's the shmira on the knife?
It's apparently a dangerous object. You have to protect it from that getting out of control.
You have to protect it. You put it in that place. Yes. What made the knife dangerous? No. What made the knife where you put it? So you put some definition of making dangerous. You put it in a place which is down potential to create damage. And it gets moved by something which is normal to move it, which actually finish off the damage. That's called Aish. Do we have those factors by the salt? Salt, where it is in my hand, is not dangerous. But if I put it in a bag which has a sign called sugar on it, has it now changed into a dangerous situation?
Yes.
And is it going to be moved by a normal event to make it actually create the damage?
Yep.
So therefore you have the factors of age, the Messiah.
Shimmer just worked where it wasn't a monarch. Well, Shimmer storm maybe. It was never Mamonos.
The Gemara says means that whoever owns it or creates it, it's called, the person who creates it and then creates it is also called his responsibility, his mom. So if you create it, even though you don't physically own the salt, it's called like your fire now.
There is a difference though, because here the koach acher is the mela. In our case, the koach acher is the person himself.
Ah. Now this points out a fact which may have ramifications. Okay.
Why should that be relevant? That person didn't know he was innocent.
He's not like this.
The classic case of fire is winds pushes it to actually create the damage. What's here pushing the salt to create the damage? Where's the wind here? Who are we comparing to the winds over here?
The bag.
The buyer.
The bag is the wind.
The buyer. Yes, the buyer.
Who's the one moving it?
The buyer.
The bag that it says sugar on it is causing that, to take it home.
That's making it dangerous.
The buyer.
Who is actually moving it to actually get damaged?
The buyer.
The buyer.
No, the purchaser. The
purchaser.
They say
is the purchaser like winds?
Yes.
Or the cutter is a thing of winds.
His dots are taken away by the mislabeled bag.
He does have knowledge, but it's not the fact that it's not wind that moves it, but the actual human being moves it to actually damage the item. Does that mean it's no longer my responsibility? Or do we need an inanimate force to be called the other force which finishes off the damage, or even a human being getting involved to finish off the damage is also called wind, and therefore you who made the original damage going to be fired because you're the creator of the damage and he's just the wind. It depends.
Like buyer beware. To what extent could he have figured out that it was really salt and not sugar?
It wouldn't be expected to. He bought it in a bag of fish.
So we said buyers really have to be some responsibility of verifying what they bought.
Okay.
No, that's in the wholesale.
So we're discussing over here. You're selling a bag of sugar, but you put by mistake salt in it, which destroyed everyone's food. We're suggesting you're high because of ish. You created something dangerous by putting salt in sugar, and it gets naturally moved by the wind, which is the virus, to create the damage. We're asking, is moving by the wind a necessity, or even moving by a human being can be considered like wind, and therefore the person who put the salt in the sugar bag is actually the mazik, because the other person is called the wind. Mazik is a human being called the wind. And there we're going to see Maromokan number 2. Says the Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Tov Yud Aleph, Sif Gimel, Im Enichon Berushus Rabin. You put a stone or knife down in the street. Below his kibbutz b'makoma, it actually didn't, it's dangerous, but you didn't actually create that damage there. What happens? And in Skagul Amokam Achai Zei Ragli Odom, a Ragli Behim. But it gets moved and gets kicked. The stone that you put down, which was dangerous, or the knife you put down was dangerous, was kicked by a human being. In Ezekiel Derek Hilucha, if that gets kicked by the human being, and as it's flying through the air, it breaks someone's glass vase. Isaiah Ragle, Otam Chayev Hamagazo Hakol. Then the one who kicked it is Chayev. Not the one who put the stone down, not the one who put the knife down, but the one who actually moved it, and as it's flying through the air, it created, it's got broke a vase, the one who kicked it is Chayev. The one who put the stone down is potter.
So,
the chorah, we see from here, that a person who moves it, moves a dangerous item, a person who moves a dangerous item, and he moves it to a situation where it damages as it gets moved, then the one who created the original danger is not responsible, only the one who actually moved it. And in our case, the one who moved it is the owners of the meat themselves. They moved the salt and put it in the meat, and therefore the one who put the salt in the bag of sugar, yes, he did something not the seder, he caused people to make mistakes, but the one who's more responsible, the one who's considered who damaged actually, is not the one who put it in the bag, but the one who actually finished it off, if it's not the wind, a human being. This is Rosh Hashanah. Putting salt in the sugar bag is Rosh Hashanah.
That's a private store.
And what are you trying to say by that?
That's not
Rosh Hashanah. There's even less of a reason. If you're ready, when you put something dangerous in Rosh Hashanah, you're not responsible if a human being moves it to a place where it damages.
No, here it's
so then, when you put it in your own shop, you're not responsible if a human being moves it.
Designed for. Rosh Hashanah, people aren't necessarily picking things up and taking them. Here, you're setting it up. The whole purpose is, don't take my sugar.
Yes.
And putting the
stone in the Rosh Hashanah where people walk, by nature, they're going to knock the stone, and therefore you're also asking for that stone to be moved, and therefore that person is like the wind, and nevertheless, he's not called wind, he's called the one who actually damaged, and the one who put it there is released. Why? So we see, that Aish, not to use hive, is that it gets transferred further by winds, but not by a human being getting involved.
The reason he's responsible because he's walking the Shusha Rabbi. He has a responsibility to make sure he's not kicking dangerous objects. Whereas the person who's carrying a mislabeled bag doesn't have...
Now, is that true?
Is that true
what Boss just said?
Yes, because he says he's a Hosea, so it must be true.
Why? Why is it completely different?
So he kicks it, he's kicking the stone into a car.
Yeah. He's kicking the stone into a car. Why is it different now?
According to what it says, the person put it down was not putting it in an automatically potential dangerous place.
Ooh.
And the person who kicked it is a pusher. So he must have known that he was something dangerous and he kicked it anyway.
So you say the same thing, Bolo. You said the same thing. I'm asking, is it true?
And in our case, the person who put it in was doing something dangerous, and the person taking it had absolutely no idea. He thought it was the other.
At one point I agree, at one point I disagree. Both cases, I disagree. Both cases talking about the person putting it down is putting down something dangerous. Salt and sugar bag, stone in the Shusha Rabin, or knife in the Shusha Rabin, dangerous.
But not necessarily a dangerous situation.
But you're saying a second statement, that the person in the case of the Shulchanov, who kicks it, he's negligent. In case, the person who put the salt, bought the salt, picking the sugar and put it in food, is not negligent. That's what you're saying, that's what Paul said. Is it true that the person walking in the street is negligent when he kicks the stone and it breaks somebody's glass or glass or windows or car? Is he negligent by kicking?
Yes, he kicks it. If he doesn't see it, it's in his way and he falls over it and he goes flying.
I'm very surprised. I'm very surprised.
He kicks it, he's kicking with enough speed that it won't damage while flying in the air.
We have learned at the beginning of the halachas, the hilchos, mazik, a concept. Ein adam is bonen medrachim. A person doesn't look where he's going by nature. So he doesn't look what's on the floor. Yeah, so therefore, if he walks and he kicks something, it's completely unexpected. The onus is not expected for him to see what's going on. So if so, he's on the same level as the guy buying the bag, picking his sugar, and ends up his salt, puts it in the food, and nevertheless saying, if he kicks it, and he's not really responsible to look what he's kicking, and he calls damage to it, no, the guy for the day is not responsible.
But that can't be the case here, because he shook him out and he's got his little,
how do you answer my question?
The guy buying
the sugar says he's negligent, and nevertheless, we know there's a concept that you're not supposed to look where you're going. How can he be negligent? No. But the short comic doesn't say he saw it and kicked it.
No, he says it's crochet.
He saw it, kicked it, of course.
He says it's crochet.
So why is it crochet? We know Halakha, which the short comic also passes, and not that he's burning the dropping. It doesn't look crazy. What's on the floor? So why is it crochet? So the answer to that is like what you said.
He's kicking with such strength that it damaged. You kick a rock strong enough that it's going to smash a window.
And it's not your answer. It's the Tosis answer. Let's look at number three. I dark and triple out on his own Madoffin. What do you mean he's responsible? A person's not supposed to see what's going on the floor. How can you say he's negligent by kicking the stone? In the indication of Yopal Tolkap, the closing she asked him, he is dark and his bone. People are not supposed to look what's on the floor, so they walk and they slightly kick the stone, they're not responsible. But if they kick the stone in such to extent that it flies through the air with speed and breaks a vase or breaks a window, that is definitely negligence. To kick a stone with such force, that's called negligence, and therefore it releases the person who put something dangerous, and you now take responsibility. But if the person who kicked it wasn't negligent, he didn't do it such force, then they not for Nami. Who would be responsible, Mekish? The one who puts it. So we see from here that it doesn't have to be wind in order to bring sinners Aish, even if it's a human being who's transporting for the Aish as condition, one condition. If it's a human being, has to be the transport of that human being, the second person, has to be without any negligence involved. So therefore, going back to our case, the people who bought the salt, thinking it's sugar, and put it in their meat, are they considered negligent and therefore releases Shimon who put the salt in the sugar bag, or they're considered not negligent and therefore they're considered wind, and therefore the person responsible is the one who put the salt in the sugar bag?
I think most women would know when they start pouring the salt in that it's not sugar.
This is way back then.
Who would not know? But I don't know. I think people that bake, they
so we'll go around the table. Chai of a potter, Shimon who put the sugar, the salt in the sugar bag. Chai of a potter. Chai of a potter, Shimon who put the bag, the salt in the sugar bag. What?
At this point it's Chai.
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 Chai. Potter. Why? Because he's negligent, because the wife is negligent, all those people are negligent. They're like kicking the stone back with hard force.
You've got to be proud. Be proud of your answer.
Whatever he says, I
say. Okay. I'm prepared to accept you. Admit your Eric, Chaim or Potter? Chaim. What's your name again? Yosef. Chaim or Potter? Chaim.
Potter.
Just because you want to be different.
No, the woman should know.
Okay.
People that
okay.
Work with salt and sugar.
No, Matis, we'll finish off with you.
I say Potter.
Oh, Potter.
Well, no. He says the Baal HaTakala is Potter.
But we've already explained why is the Baal HaTakala Potter?
Yeah.
Because the guy who kicked it is negligent.
No,
but the guy who kicked it is not negligent.
The Baal HaTakala Potter is independent of the fact that the God was higher. There are two different things there.
Oh, that's a typical Matus type of comment. I'm getting to learn how you think. And my answer is always
the same.
At least
you're kidding, I think.
That is good. That's what you say. The answer is Moshem Zalman Paskins, Chayef. Because those people are not negligent by putting that salt in the meat of their own meat, because they're not expected to think that it's salt. They assume it's sugar, and therefore they're not like the person who kicks it hard. Aye, Matastik. Matastik is based on the fact that he doesn't see the rest of the Shulchan Aruch, which
always
is silly. Yeah, look, I said this, it's a little bit. Okay, let's move on to the second case.
That's it, huh?
Chayv in that case. Okay, let's move on. We're going to discuss Aish now for the next few weeks. All cases of doing Aish. Next case.
Now, is the store Chayv or just the employee?
The owner employee. Of the store? No.
It's his Shliach. It's his employee.
No. That's to do with Minag, whether you can also came from him. But not, the one who's Chayv is Shimon. And you also came from the store because he works for you and you were taking responsibility for work. That's all to do with Minag. The Hilchos Mazik Shimon's case. Next case. Reuben is Shimon. Bochrim in yeshiva this time. Bochrim in yeshiva. Reuven, he goes to his shower and he takes with him his shampoo with him. Okay. And he leaves the shampoo in the shower. Why bother taking it back and forth, back and forth? He puts his name on it. It's private property. But every time he goes to the shower, he sees that it's gone down a bit. Someone must be moving it. So he put up signs. Don't touch private property. Do not touch. Doesn't seem to help. Keeps going down. So Reuben decides to do something about it. Doesn't know who it is. 22. He emptied the contents of his shampoo bottle, and in its place, he put in it hair remover. Meister Joyka.
Wow.
Shimon came out of the shower, and who was the one who was actually using the shampoo illegally, and he came out klachat, without any hair. Now we're in Basin. Shimon with his wig on, and Reuben over there.
And what's Shimon planning?
And Shimon is signing. You damaged me. You have to pay. You made me bald. Reuben saying, fine, but you are a gunner. Is Reuben responsible to pay Shimon for making him bald? Of course Shimon has to pay Reuben for stealing the shampoo. But is Reuben trying to pay Shimon for making him bald?
No, Taylor the Russian Lord Yamos, but that's what you have to do in the Mice to avoid it. You have to put up a sign to prevent to idea them that they shouldn't take this because it's Orla.
Allowed to defend your property.
You're not obligated to.
Now let me ask you, in American law,
we do a proposal.
You don't want Ganovin to come in. So what do? You set up a system at night time that anyone who goes through the door, automatically a shotgun will go off and they'll get killed. Are you held in secular law responsible for killing that guy?
For sure, in America, for sure the gun of conciliation.
Why do we care?
If he's still alive, his children can see it. Yes?
Yeah.
So secular law, it's illegal to do. And it's also the your husband's spot for it. What about in halacha? I'm not going to discuss it on this page because it's not the question.
In halacha, I've got him allowed to shoot him before.
He's a rodent.
He's
breaking into your house.
It's the finish of the puzzle.
Rodent? He's not a rodent.
Not a rodent, but I can shoot him.
Yeah, he's on Bobby. He's in the shower.
Unless he's my
he's
father.
He's in the shower. Right. We're talking about the shower case. The shower case.
So the shower case has nothing to do with defending your property.
Yeah, you're defending your shampoo. Yeah.
It's irrelevant with defending your property.
Why is it irrelevant, Luke?
He's potter because the guy had no issues to take the property to begin with. So I can't be high for my property doing something in your system that's not supposed to be there.
So maybe another time we'll discuss why there's no allowance, even on the halacha in this case, to put up a booby trap, so to speak. You can't put up a booby trap over here for the gunner to fall in and get damaged.
Well, in a regular case,
it's awesome. Now the question, why it's awesome, we'll discuss another time, another shift. Maybe a year time when you've forgotten all about everything. Now that stinks. And I'll reintroduce the shot. But now, today we'll decide, okay, it's awesome. But is he now, since it's awesome to put those hair remover in the shampoo bottle, is he now responsible for the damage which the gun have got by having been bald by you putting that shampoo in? Is it ace or not ace? Is it ace or not ace?
Is it ace or not ace?
Because he went into my oven and pulled out the ace.
But I know he's going to pull out the ace.
It doesn't matter.
He picks his shampoo.
I'm allowed to put ace in my
oven.
You're
not. He's not allowed to do. We just said. Why?
I'm allowed to put an ace in my oven.
You're allowed to put an ace in a place where you know that the person's going to get tagged.
I can't do it b'chavona that he should.
You're doing it b'chavona that he
should. Okay, so I'm not allowed to. But it's my oven. I can put an ace there if I want.
I'm putting an ace where I know that he's going to put on his head and he's going to be bald.
But that, he was
it's still out of ace.
Why is it not ace?
Because my fire didn't leave my resource. It has to go into over.
There is a way. Who's the wind here? Who's the wind?
The Ganev.
The dangerous is the hair remover. Who's the wind? The Ganev. Did he do an action which was expected for him to do?
Yes, but he was Boshea.
Why is he Boshea?
Why is he Boshea?
Boshea was meant to shampoo, but not meant to hair remover.
He's using that body.
Yes, he is, because it's my hair remover. He wasn't allowed to touch my hair.
Just like kicking the rock too hard was Boshea. This is also Boshea.
Like kicking the rock too hard.
It's not the wrong way to kick rocks.
How it got to damage me was for a negligent action of kicking it hard. Here, how it got to damage was a normal action.
By doing
shampoo, you put on your head. And I know he's going to put on the head, that's why I put it there. In order that he should put it on his head. I put it in there in order that he should put it on his head. And I know he's going to do it because that's what he's been doing for the last 10 times.
What happens if you put bleach in a water bottle and somebody comes into your home without permission and takes the water bottle and drinks it?
That's not right. Oh, absolutely not. It's a fair shot, right? If I have a bore, it's a fair shot. In my cut there, and you come into the cut there without permission, you fall in and you kill yourself, I'm not right.
That's different. Here you know it's going to happen. The shampoo case, you know it's going
to
happen.
Here you know it's happening. You want it to happen. You expect it to happen. It's been happening the last 10 times. Just when you change the shampoo to hair remover, now you're saying, I'm putting down hair remover in a place where I know it's going to be moved on his head, and all that should be
my
gone.
Is misleading.
Why should that be aged?
But it's
why
my property. Property.
But it's misleading.
But nobody told me to come into my property.
The matter who does the action.
Why?
Because the other case is dying of thirst, so he's having to get a drink.
So then it depends on whether you pass me as a shiss or not.
In our first case, who did the action? The people who own the meat put the salt in their own meat. And we said that the person who put the meat, the salt in the sugar bag is chayev, even though the person who bought it created the damage. Yeah? So this is the same. What's the difference between our first case and this case? You know what? I don't think there's any difference. But I have another gemara, nothing to do with what you're saying. Let us look at the other gemara. And let's mavara it further now. The Gemara, Baba Kamadaf, Memzayim, and the Aleph is the Mishnah, and Memzayim on the base is the Gemara. What does the Mishnah and the Gemara say over there? Hichnis perosav lachotzav alabai shlobushos. You bring in your produce into the house of somebody without permission. V'ochton behemotoshav alabayis, and the animal of the owner of the house ate that fruit, which you put there. Potter, the owner of the house is potter for paying. Because you shouldn't have put your fruit there. You put your fruit in front of my animal and you got it, so what is potter? Bin huska bahem, and if the animal gets damaged by that fruit, balabat peris is chayv. The one who put the fruit there without permission, the animal gets damaged by that fruit, then the one who owns the fruit is chayv. That's the Mishnah. Says Rav on the Gemara on the base. On the Rav, when is the owner of the fruit responsible for the damage that the animal gets from that fruit? Only if the animal slipped on the fruit. There's a banana. You put the banana down, and the animal came along, slipped, broke its leg. You're the owner. The banana is mechuyev to pay for the damage to the broken leg of the fruit. But if the animal ate the banana, and by eating the banana, the animal got sick and ill and got damaged, then the owner of the banana is potter. Why? My timer, what's the reason? Because he shouldn't have eaten it. He should not have eaten it. The animal should not have eaten the banana. What's going on?
Why?
No, think, why? If he slips on it, then you have to pay for the damage to the animal. If the animal eats it, you don't, because the animal shouldn't have eaten it. Why?
The animal normally doesn't eat things which is not helping the animal. That's the assumption. The animal has a sensitivity. I understand what's tends to be good for them and not good for them.
Okay.
The only way the animal shouldn't have eaten it, if the animal was supposed to be restrained in such a way that it couldn't eat it. Otherwise, you can't say an animal you should have eaten.
No.
I want to say. It's a type of food that this animal normally doesn't eat. It's a food It's a food which is dangerous for that animal inherently. It's not a normal food for that animal, which went bad. It was a food which is not shy for that animal, and therefore there's no reason to assume when they put it there the animal's going to eat it.
Does everyone hear that? That's the stats of the Rosh. The Rosh says it's type of food which the animal never eats. And he happened to eat it this time. So the one who put the banana there...
It wasn't inevitable.
Yeah, it wasn't inevitable that's going to happen. So therefore it's not responsible. So would that get us out in our case with the shampoo, the hair remover?
No.
No. Because there is inevitable. But...
It's probably what kind of food it is.
Yes, according to the Rosh. But Tosis says another reason different from the Rosh. Let's read Tosis. In the forest, the calf pots. Don't say the reason why the animals potter, the owner of the animals potter, the kosher for real shouldn't be, because the animals shouldn't have eaten it. It's not a food you shouldn't eat it. You don't expect it to eat. It's like a strange wind. Don't say that. Don't say like the Rosh. And a Heine Tab, you know what? I'm going to say you a bomber cloud. A cloud which you can use in Hilchus Mazik all over the place. Kivin, Shemeskavin, maybe or not? Dobashamazikin? Even if it's a food which the animal normally eats. But the other day, the animal brought it and damaged himself. As soon as a person damages himself with the item, you could never charge the person who puts the item there in front of it.
The guy with the salt damaged himself.
All right. We see a cloud from Tosis that if the wind is a human being, so far we said can be a wind, but if the person who's getting damaged is the wind, he's the one making himself get damaged, so says that's a release clause to the one who put something damaged over there. Why? Because now it automatically turns it into a grommer. It's a partnership over here between the one damaging and the one damaged. Why did this person get damaged? You look at the picture. You say there's two parts. The reason why the person got damaged, because somebody put something in front of him and he went and inhaled it or consumed it, which damaged himself. So why did it? So there's a partnership between the person damaged and the person damaging. As soon as there's any partnership of the one getting damaged involved, he is involved in any type of way, even the onus in his downfall, it automatically makes a release clause in Hilchus damages to get money in Basin. It's still called Groma, but you can't get money for it. It's called Groma. It's not called Aish anymore. The wind can't be the one who's getting damaged. Wind can be a human being, but it can't be the one who's getting damaged. That is what Tosis is saying. If so, let us now look back in our two cases. With the shampoo. Who's the wind?
The Ganav.
The Ganav, what did he get? Use the item to damage himself. If he used the item to damage himself, according to the Tosis, that automatically releases the person who put the dangerous item there in the first place. Because it's a combination of the one creating the danger and the one being damaged that created the actual damage. As soon as the wind can't be the one who's getting damaged. That's Tosis. So here, the gun, if it's the wind, he's the one being damaged. He can't. That releases the person. Now, if so, that's according to Tosis, not according to the Rosh, but Kimli, he can't be motzi moment if there's a shit of Tosis out there, and it's brought down even in Shulchan Aruch. And that means they'll get back and ask a kasha now in Sherman Zaman Obach. I just want to ask the question, then you can answer the question. My question is... I just asked you a question. If so, I don't understand Rosh Hashanah Orbach's Pesach. Was Rosh Hashanah Orbach's Pesach? So it says, a human being can be a wind. So therefore, the person put salt in the sugar bag, and people bought it, and they put it in their own food, and therefore they are considered wind, and the one who put the salt in the sugar bag is fine. But we just learned from Tosis now that the wind can be human, but he can't be the one who's getting damaged himself. In Rosh Hashanah Orbach, the one who's getting damaged is the wind. The one who put the salt in the meat is the owner of the meat. So why did Rosh Hashanah all but say that the one who put the salt in the sugar bag is Chayev? Aye, there's no wind over there, because the wind in that case is the one getting damaged and Tosa getting the release clause. How, what's the shot in the Sherman Zalman over?
Maybe Tosa was talking about a case where the wind person, damagee, is directly causing damage to himself. I.e., take a hair remover in your hair, removes hair. By shaking, putting salt as part of 20 ingredients into a cake, it will indirectly cause the cake to not come out correctly, so maybe that's not considered as direct damage, and therefore the release clause.
Is it called damage or not? She says damage.
It's called grammar.
Grammar, then it should also release the original guy. So, of course, you're getting two steps away, guys, in the release. Thank you.
I was worried you said
that. Good. Yeah, they're backing me up. You're doing good work tonight.
The food, other people are eating the food. The
damage is the food.
The food, other people are eating the food. Other people are eating the food.
But who's the owner of the food?
The damage is the food. The damage is the person.
Yeah, what is the closest is the food. Is you're damaging yourself. With your, the animal is damaging yourself. You are damaging yourself. Case,
the owner of the animal didn't damage himself. The owner of the animal was damaged.
The cause of the damage animal was the animal itself.
Yes.
And he damaged himself. The little sheepsicle.
Yes.
In Roshomo Zalman's case, that's the person who's damaging his property. It's not the same thing. Not damaging himself. I'm damaging my cake.
Okay.
My meat.
I understand what you're saying. I don't understand in Svara the difference. I understand there's a physical difference.
Cool.
I feel it. In Svara, I don't understand why that should make a difference. If there's a call to release clause, whenever the person who owns the item, who's actually making the claim, whoever is making the claim, is the actual one who was involved in getting himself damaged, there's an automatic release clause from the one that actually you're making a claim against, then why should it make a difference if he's damaging his hair, or the animal's damaging himself, or he's damaging his food? At the end of the day, he's making the claim, and he's the one who caused damage to himself. Okay, not negligence, but as a release clause.
Did the owner do the cooking? Did the owner do the cooking?
Yeah, who's the owner?
Whoever the owner is, did he do the cooking?
Why not?
Somebody else did the cooking.
Rosh Hashanah Zalman didn't say that. Rosh Hashanah didn't say five. He didn't ask who did the cooking. Who did the cooking? What the cooking? He didn't ask who's Yochayev. He just said.
Maybe it's a whole like Tosfos.
If you hold like there's a Tosfos in Shulchan Aruch, you have to say Kimni. You can't.
Unless
say,
he passed him with favors like.
You can't. It's a Shulchan Aruch. You say Kimni. You can't be Moksi Mom and just not
good. In case of Kirsch Chan Shulchan Aruch. If the cutter or the shota damaged his own home, would be putter?
Yes, maybe.
Maybe only if he damaged himself.
Maybe we'll get to that type of silence.
The shampoo and the banana are without reshus. The salt is without
reshus. Yeah, we already discussed that. Yeah.
No. What? Even the he didn't have reshus to eat the fruit, the banana.
It is. I mean, it was in my property. The animal doesn't know better. It just sees the banana which he always eats on the ground. It happens to be somebody else's gun. He is not vicious. The animal is supposed to be able to make an intellectual decision. Oh, this is not the banana of my master, so therefore I shouldn't eat it. Oh, I'm still going to eat it.
Maybe similarly saying, the Lashon is Kevan Shemishkav, maybe Allah. He brought it on himself. Here, there's a shut person bringing it. The seller is giving it to him while he's taking it. So it's not that he's independently being maybe on Atmo. It's being maybe on Atmo with him.
Did he go to his house and help him cook the food?
He helped him take the salt.
Yeah, but it's a stereotype, putting it in the chotzer, that's all. It's like him coming to the house and putting the bag of salt in his kitchen. Yeah? That's no worse than the banana in his house.
Wouldn't it make a difference if the guy brought the food before the animal brought something that looked like food but it was poison?
No difference according to Christmas.
No difference
according to Christmas. Maybe we'll hear something soon. Soon, but maybe we'll hear something.
And if the case was slightly different with the shampoo, and the other guy did own the shampoo, but he wanted to play a trick on him, and it was his shampoo, it wouldn't be chayav according to this.
Nope. The point said this concept at this moment.
Wouldn't be viable. There's no difference. And it's either this reason or if he just wants to kill him all, doing damage.
Yeah, yeah, according to this release clause. We're not saying he's not naughty, we're not saying that he's on the same level of naughtiness or not worse. We're talking about getting money out.
He goes out of the way to actually doing damage in a real positive way. He's suddenly not called damage.
It's called damage. You called your naughty.
No money.
And
no
you called your chai b'day shaman. But based on God's words, it's grammar. Grammar doesn't mean you're not naughty. How many times do I have to say this to you?
Grammar?
this goes through the last 2 years.
What's the difference between that and putting a knife on top of the thing with on top of the door?
So maybe we'll discuss cases. What's when it's different. And we're going to discuss. We've got a few weeks of Asia amongst us. Yeah. So says Rosh Hashem Zalman Ulbach. Rosh Hashem Zalman Ulbach asked the question on himself. He didn't ignore that fact. So what did Rosh Hashem Zalman Ulbach answer? Number 6. Amati, the Bishlomer and Heine Dunim al Nezik Shanasa Nesha Ochlu Melech Bamokum Sukha. For sure, if he ate the salt instead of sugar, he thought it was sugar, he was going to eat sugar, and he ate salt and he damaged himself, then there's release clause. That's the release clause of Tosis. Then you got chayiv. Shimon in the shop won't be chayiv if he ate the salt. You're talking to Dabi Larson, the Habilei Shotokol, so you've got the same release. He brought the damage onto himself, he ate it. Masha Ekein Hocha. But in our case, Shanoshim has seeds of Shlomo Kavona, Momona Dabal. The women of the house took the salt and put it in the food and they damaged their food or their husband's food.
That's what he
said before. Yeah, but now we're saying how it works. Yeah. Women of the house who damage the food in the house are not damaging their own food. Who does food that they belong to? Who does the food belong to?
It might belong to the woman.
To the husband.
They have rights to it.
Maybe she
all
has
food
no
in
husband.
The house belongs to the husband.
What if she has no husband?
So therefore it's not the person making the claim who's damaging himself. It's the wind. It's a human being who's not the one making the claim.
How is Shlomo?
And therefore you don't have the release clause. Like Eric said, but now he's saying a cloud. We're not asking, are you the owner or not the owner? We're saying, all women in the kitchen are not the owner. All women in the kitchen are not the owner. And as we learned 2 weeks ago, women of great kalim in the house, they should be chayev, but we mishum tukana release them all because of the rifles we said a few weeks ago, different reason. But they are not the hand of the husband. They are separate entity. They are damaging and they're called the wind over here. And you don't have to release cause of the owner damaging himself because the owner is the husband. That's Rosh Hashem Zalman Ulbach. The shot and why the Shimon who put the salt in the sugar bag is chayev because you got the wind. Human can be the wind as long as he's not the owner, and he's not the owner because it's the wife. The wife's not the owner. The Shem Zaman had the kasha.
The animal's not the owner either.
Yes.
So why is that?
No, it is the owner.
What?
Because Machlokas, so for the case of the shampoo.
The animal's not the owner.
No, shampoo is the Machlokas, Tosis, and Rosh, and they get a release. So therefore, they're based on Paskins in the case of the shampoo, that he does not need to pay for the damage.
Unless he paid already.
Hair.
Unless he paid already.
The hair damage.
Unless he paid already.
Unless he paid already, of course, but he didn't pay already. There's no way he's going to pay for it. He didn't pay, and he doesn't have to pay because of Tosis. Even though the Rosh would say you're chayv, but Tosis. And in the case of Shem Zalman, even Tosis would agree, because that wasn't the owner who was damaging himself in such a case.
How does Shlomo Zalman know that the woman has a husband, A, and B, that the husband's not doing the cooking?
Obviously he did a biru, but in most cases were done. Yeah? He wants to make it. Okay, this, I'll give you your homework for next week. Let's think about this case. Reuven has decided to go out for his anniversary dinner to a restaurant with his wife. Doesn't go out often, once a year, twice a year maybe to a restaurant, special events. Splash out for special events. Goes to orders nice food, and when you have a nice meal, you want to make it a mitzvah meal. You want to make broth. You have bread. So you ask, can you bring some rolls with the food? Yeah, brought some rolls. So you wash and took a big bite out of the roll, Inside the roll was a piece of glass. He broke his teeth. He cut open his mouth. And now we're in Pasten. He's making a claim against the restaurant or the baker who put this glass inside the roll. The question is that Eish? Not Eish. Did they bring it on himself? A fairy brought it on himself. Maybe there's a release clause in such a case. Yeah?
I think his mamish published this rabbin, but I was wrong before. So.
Okay, think about it till next week.
In terms of the Rodef case, the